And please mute your microphones, the people who are on UVU, unless you're speaking. Okay, good. Okay, so we start with one time homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Okay, so we are continuing with lesson 10. And so with the grammar, we resume the grammar on page 140. These are called pre- and post-positions. These are words, they function somewhat like, a little bit like adverbs. I think we call them adverbs. Preposition means that the word comes in front of the word that it modifies. Just like pre means before. I just don't know how to say that in Chinese. Qian. Qianzaide. Yan. Qianzaide yan. So it's a word that comes in front and it modifies the word that comes after. And it's often joined with another word to form a compound. We'll see some examples. Postposition is homyende yan. That is a word that comes after another word and that modifies that word. So it's easiest to understand by looking at the examples. So they give, for example, of a preposition, anto, which means within or inside. Okay, so this word can be joined with another word to form a compound. So that we have, for some of the examples given here, antogamung. Antogamung means inside the village. So the word gama means village, and antogama is inside the village. And antogama is treated as a noun, a compound noun, and it's declined. It takes the case according to its position or function within the sentence. So in this example given here, antogamung is the accusative. It's in the accusative case. So antogamung pavisati, he enters into the village. He goes, he enters into the village. We would say he enters the village. It would be a more natural way to say that. Then here we have a compound forming I think this would be a bahubihi compound. Anto nivesana gatto, one who has gone inside the house. So nivesana is house or dwelling. And then it's preceded by the preposition, that's anto, inside the dwelling. And then it has the suffix gatto, which is the past participle of gone. And here it's qualifying one who has gone. So one who has gone inside the house. And then another example they give is anto nagare viharanti. They live inside the city. They live within the city.
Vihara is dwelling or live? Is it dwelling?
Viharanti. Yeah. Viharanti. You could translate it either they live or they dwell. I mean, it's the same sense.
But I mean, like a vihara is...
Yeah, vihara originally means a dwelling place, a living place. Then it came to be used specifically as a living place for monks. Then it came to mean a monastery. But in the early Buddhist texts, we don't find vihara in the sense, at least in, I don't think in the suttas, but doesn't find vihara yet in the sense of a monastery, a place where many monks live. There we have arama, which was originally a park. Or avasa is an individual dwelling for a monk. They don't give other examples of prepositions, but let me see if I can think of a few. When we come across them, we'll identify them. Okay, now come what are called postpositions. These are words that come after the word that they're qualifying. And these usually go along with, they take the word that they qualify comes in a particular case. So one example given here is the word pitaya. Pitaya was originally a gerund. It's a gerund of the type ending in ya. And the original sense is setting out from, like going on a journey, you're setting out from someplace. But it comes to mean something like from X point on. From now on. So we have Ajato Pitaya is from today on. Ito Pitaya, from now on. From this point on. Another example of a postposition, I think this is more common in commentarial literature than in, actually, both of these I think are more common in commentarial literature than in the suttas. Nisaya, with the first long A, means the original sense is depending upon, based upon. And then it takes on the extended meaning of because of. I guess we don't have any Sinhalese speakers here. Of course, the word is absorbed into singular, in the singular language, when one wants to say because of something one uses, it's derived from this nisa. But when I try to think of speaking Sinhalese, it always comes into Chinese.
What is it? See you online.
No, he's not online.
Oh, he's not?
Oh, see you. I'm sorry, see you. I was thinking of Venerable Subodha. Nisai. Venerable. No. You see, I get my Chinese and Sinhalese mixed up, and I'm getting my venerables mixed up. See you?
I'm here, Master. I'm on mute.
You know Sinhalese? Is it Nisa? Nisai?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, give us just a simple
because
example.
Because of. He said because of?
No, it means because of, but a simple sentence with it. Mama, maybe you're speaking too much English. Mama, oh yeah, okay. Mama Vedakaranda Nisai Natanle. I'm trying to think, because I did a lot of work, I'm tired. Anyway, my Singhalese is not up to the mark anymore. Okay, so look at the examples here. Idang kamang nisaya, because of this action, or danang nisaya, because of or based upon wealth. Yeah,
I have an example.
Yeah.
Bhikkhu Bodhi Nisa Api Pali Ganaganna.
Okay, okay. So it's like based upon Bhikkhu Bodhi, we are studying Pali. Bhikkhu Bodhi Nisai. Again, Api Pali Iganaganawa. Actually, just doing a check, I see that Pattaya doesn't occur in the old strata of the suttas. You can see, let me just share the screen. I'm going to share the screen. I just did a search for Pattaya, just taking the suttas, the root texts, and it only occurs in two works, which are actually late additions to the Pali Sutta Pitaka. The Chula Nidesa and the Malindapana. But we don't get it in the Nikayas. Let's see if we get it in the Vinaya. Not even in the Vinaya. And just twice in the Abhidharma, in one Abhidharma volume. In Nisaya. Yeah, Nisaya we do get in the canonical literature. But it seems that it's, at least here, is being used in the sense of based upon rather than because of. Okay, so having approached, I think this is, okay, the Buddha together with the Sangha of monks are going to a new, like, meeting hall that's been established. So having approached, having washed their feet, having entered the, it's like a dwelling hall, the meeting hall. Okay, the Buddha, the Blessed One, sits down purat abhimukho, facing the east, nisaya majimang tambang nisaya, so leaning against, or maybe with his back to, he wouldn't be leaning against the middle pillar or post, like a post in the middle of the hall. Okay, then the monks, having washed their feet, having entered the meeting hall, sit down facing the west, so they're facing the Buddha, nisaya, the pachimang beating nisaya. It would be like depending upon the western wall. But it's really, I mean, they won't, unless they're really slovenly, they won't be leaning against the wall, but their back is to the western wall. And with the Blessed One in front of them. And then the lay people of Patalikama wash their feet, enter the hall, and they sit down with their backs against the eastern wall, facing the west, facing westwards, with the Blessed One in front of them. Or we could say honoring the Blessed One. Here it's being used, it seems. Seems it's being used in the sense of very close by through the repetition. It's a little. Here's a similar passage to the other one about the opening of a new hall. This is a good usage, interesting passage. So the Buddha's explaining how each of the, sort of the transgressions or faults are abandoned based upon its opposite. So here, based upon non-destruction of life, destruction of life should be abandoned. Based upon taking only what is given, taking what is not given should be abandoned, and so forth. So this is applied to all sorts of faults. Okay, in this, Nisaya takes the accusative case, whereas Pattaya, which we had earlier, takes the ablative case. Okay, another postposition which they give is the word heta. Heta means below, and it can come, actually heta can be both a postposition, that is, it comes after the word it modifies, or a preposition preceding the word it modifies. So we have heta as a postposition taking the genitive. Here we have rukasa heta, which means beneath the tree. And then we have heta functioning as a preposition joined with the word that it modifies to form a compound. Heta manchang is the example, which means underneath the bed, below the bed. Mancha is bed, and heta mancha is below the bed. Okay, then the text explains that postpositions often come from verb forms like gerunds or case forms of nouns which have been frozen in idiomatic use as postpositions. So as I explained, both Pattaya and Nisaya were originally gerunds, but they come to take on a special meaning. So Pattaya, beginning with or starting out from, Nisaya, depending upon, because of, based upon. Okay, and then there's another word that they mention called santika, which originally it was the ablative of santikam, which means vicinity, the nearby area. But it comes to mean from the vicinity of. Forms with Kate, more forms with Kate. Okay, here's a good example. Heta pasadam. Pasada means like a mansion or a palace. And heta is below the palace. It means like the lower level of the palace. So here the Buddha is explaining how the past bodhisattva vipassi, during the rainy season, he spent the 4 months in the palace, accompanied by being entertained by musicians. It says, ni purisehi, none of whom were men. It doesn't say, I don't know why it doesn't say women. And he said, he didn't go down to the lower level of the palace. He was always in the upper chambers. Okay, here's a good example. Another good example. This is from the Vinaya Pitaka. Let me just condense. Okay, so this is the instruction for one putting down the alms bowl. So with one hand having taken the alms bowl, and with one hand you'd go to the gerund here. Paramasitva is having sort of felt around below the bed or below the chair, and he should then, the bowl should be put down, having felt around with one hand, having felt below the bed or below the chair. But the bowl should not be put down on the ground without anything between. You know, it shouldn't be put directly on the ground. So this is why often they have like a little mat or a stand for holding the bowl. Okay, this is again from the Vinaya. This is about the rule about I think this is a rule of not sporting in the water, you know, sort of joking around in the water, playing games in the water. So if he plays around in water, heta gopake, gopaka is are the ankles. So if the water is below the ankles, then it's a very, very minor type of offense called the dukkata. If he's playing while on a boat in the water, again, it's the offense is a dukkata, very minor type. Oh, okay, this is another preposition. Upari, which means above. Okay, so playing in the water. So here we have upari gopake, udake hasadi payo. So with the intention of sort of joking around or playing in the water, and then this is describing the water as upari is above. So it's the opposite of heta. Heta is below, upari is above, and gopaka are the ankles. So if he sinks down, emerges, floats, then it's with the intention of sort of joking around, it's considered a transgression. So upari is another good example of a preposition. I'm not quite sure of the sense here. So. Okay, here's a good example. This is from the simile of two friends who they're discussing what lies on the other side of the mountain. Okay, so here, one friend is standing at the foot of the mountain below. He's standing, you see the word heta, he's standing below at the foot of the mountain. And he would say to the friend who is standing upari pabbate, that means above the mountain, that means on the top of the mountain, he says, what friend do you see standing on the top of the mountain? And then the one who's on top, he would say thus, I see, friend, while I'm standing on top of the mountain, I see Arama, delightful parks, delightful groves, delightful ground or scenery, and delightful ponds, lotus ponds. But the friend who's on the bottom of the mountain, he would say, it's impossible, it's inconceivable that while standing on the top of the mountain, you might see delightful parks, delightful groves, delightful scenery, delightful ponds. Okay, so then the friend who's standing on top of the mountain, having come down hetima pabbata padam to the foot of the mountain below, then gahetva, having taken his other friend by the arm, then upari pabbatang aropetva, having brought him up to the top of the mountain and having let him catch his breath for a moment, he would say thus, do you see, friend, while you're standing on the top of the mountain? He say, what do you see, friend, while you're standing on top of the mountain? And he would say, I see, while I'm standing on top of the mountain, I see delightful parks, delightful groves, delightful scenery, delightful ponds. So this is supposed to be an analogy for, like, the one who hasn't, you know, renounced worldly pleasures, says it's impossible that you could enter into such a mental state that you can enjoy this peace and bliss detached from sensual pleasures, you know, the jhanas and the super knowledges. He's like the person standing on the foot of the mountain who's saying that there are no parks, no grooves on the other side because he's below the mountains. Okay, any questions about this?
One.
Yeah.
It's about preposition and postposition. Yeah. We learn as just children prepositions. We never learn.
Oh, actually, of course, we call them prepositions.
Yeah, it just hit me.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess they misled. Yeah, of course. If we just pronounce it that way, preposition.
But we don't use postposition.
No. We might have them, but maybe we don't know them by name.
Speak like that.
Yeah, the prepositions in English are like to, from, for,
above,
with,
below,
yeah,
above,
above, below,
after, against, among, around, at.
Yeah.
I don't know where. After, before, we had to memorize that years ago.
Okay, so let's continue on with the grammar and try to get finished with it. Okay, section 8, we have, this is duplication or repeated forms. You have this in Chinese too, that it's in order to indicate, you call distribution of a particular quality, you just repeat the word. So, for example, tatta tatta is literally there and there. So in English we would say here and there or everywhere. Yata yata is, again, wherever, any place. Or young is whichever. Young. Ichita, ichitani. This is repetition of the word ichita, what is desired, what is wished for. So ichita, ichitani means whatever things are desired or everything that is desired. Tata, tata, repeating the word tata means in whatever way. Tata means in such a way, but tata, tata would mean in many ways, in whatever way. Okay, then the word adi, now section 9, the word adi originally meant the beginning, the starting point, but it's used in, especially in commentarial Pali, it's attached to familiar words to give the sense of and so on, etc. For example, when speaking about making, when the commentary is making a comment about the five aggregates, it would say, for example, rupadi anichang, form and so on are impermanent. So it doesn't have to say form, feeling, perception, volitions, consciousness, but when it says forms, etc., then you know that the five aggregates are meant. Are intended. You just look at almost in any commentary and you'll find it so common. Okay, for example here, okay. Just an example, okay. Okay, so here it says that the first jhana becomes manifold or many by way of its occurrence, patavika sina disu, by way of its occurrence through the earth kasina, the earth meditation disc. And so on. Maybe that's not a good example because the word kasina is not so familiar. Okay, so here it says ida, the word here. So it says, Vi hings adi vatu deepanam etang. So this, it's etang, is an indication of an object of the hingsa, is of violence or harmfulness, adi, etc. And we way, we'll find many occurrences of this word adi. So some of the examples that are given here, we have hati rupa kadini. So hati rupa is the form of an elephant, the image of an elephant. Adini, this would give the idea of etc. So this is a case of a boy who, by throwing stones, he's able to create in the trees images of different animals. So it mentions the form of an elephant, etc. So etc. could represent horses, monkeys, cows. You know, he creates images of many animals in the trees. And here's examples of different types of livelihood. Kasi gora kadini. So kasi is farming, agriculture. Goraka is bringing up cattle. Adi, adini, etc. Okay, I'll just, again, when we come across these in the readings, I'll point them out. Okay, then we come to section 10. This is sandhi, one of the principles of sandhi. The word sandhi means it's the laws or the rules that govern word formation when two different letters come together. So this is explaining when we have a word that ends in an A followed by a word that begins with a U, one result might be that they combine to form O. So here the example that they give is unha, which means warm, plus udaka, which means water. So we wouldn't say unha udaka, because in Pali it's general principle not to follow one vowel by another. So what happens in this case is that the two vowels combine to form O, which is like the combination, phonetic combination of A and U. So unha udaka gives unhodaka, which means hot water. Sometimes if there's a combination or a meeting of the short A with the U, the short A will drop out and the U will remain. And sometimes the U will be lengthened to form the long U. But sometimes they combine to form the O.
Bhante?
Yeah.
A question about internal vowels coming together?
Yeah.
Are there any internal vowels, not at ends of words? This way it wouldn't be sandhi, but...
I think within a single word, two vowels would not come together, if I understand you.
Yeah.
It's just that when... sometimes a word will be combined with another word to form a compound. Then you have the sandhi governing the relationship. Well, actually, there will be sandhi in forming single words when prefixes are added, certain prefixes. For example, I mean, this is a pretty complicated topic. How do I close this? Okay, there's V plus apada, which is going to form the word meaning ill will. Okay, now when the V and the A come together, you wouldn't say viapada. So what happens is that the I turns into a Y, and so we get viapada.
Yeah. There's another way to say ill will, though, in Pali, right? Besides this word?
I mean, there are numerous words that mean ill will, but this is the word that's in, that comes in the five hindrances. Right. But there's... This is usually the way the Sinhalese text represents it, but the Burmese texts, they tend to change that V to a B, so you get Biapada. And then let's say, okay, there's a word V of a V plus avahara. It's going to make form a word which means an expression. It means both an expression in speech and also business, a business transaction. And so what happens here, to combine the V and the avahara, the ava turns into an O and the V gets dropped. And so we have the word vohara. Which means expression, a descriptive term, or business transaction, conducting business. The original idea is an exchange. So exchange in speech is an expression, an exchange, and business is a business transaction. Yeah, there are actually, you know, many, many cases of sandhi within words. Okay, now we come to section 11. Here in my text, there's a printing error. It should be Kutta Punyo with two N's. Two of the end with the tilde on top.
Mine has a tilde over the U.
Yeah, that's the printing mistake. There is, in Pali, there's no tilde over U. It's only over the N. So it should be spelled like Kutta Punyo. Okay, so we can look at the explanation given here. Again, the explanation is rather complicated. So I'm going to skip over some parts of it and just pull out the highlights. Okay, in most compounds, the last element expresses the type of thing that the compound refers to, and the preceding element might be some other, like, subject, adjective, or etc., which modifies or qualifies the main word. So, for example, we have the word kalyanamita. Okay, here the main word is mita, which means a friend, and the word kalyana modifies that, so meaning a good friend. So we have Buddha Dhamma. So here the main word is Dhamma, and the word Buddha indicates, well, this is a Tapurisa compound of the Buddha. So the main word here is the Dhamma. And what kind of Dhamma is it? But it's the Dhamma of the Buddha. Then we have forms, adjectival forms, that end with the participle. So we could have here Buddha Desito, Desito Dhammo. Okay, so this is the doctrine taught by the Buddha. So here the participle comes in the second place after Buddha. So it's the Dhamma taught by the Buddha. Okay, but then the text explains Pali has a few compounds in which the first element is a participle that reverses this order. Okay, so the one example they give is Dita Pubo. So here the participle is Dita, which means seen. And pubo means before. So that which has been seen before is described as dita pubo. So we could say, ayang puriso maya dita pubo. Ayang puriso, this man, maya, by me, dita pubo, has been seen before. And another example that they give here is katapunyo, which is a compound of the word punya, which means merit. Okay, the word merit is punya, and the word kata is done. And this compound is used as an adjective to describe a person, or can stand by itself representing the person. So, katapunyo pugalo sukang anubhavati. So a person who has done merit enjoys happiness. Katapunyo, I think we have this in the Dhammapada, katapunyo Baddang Pasati, one who has done merit, sees good fortune. Okay, then there are a number of other examples of compounds formed with katta. to represent the person who has done these deeds. For example, we have here katabarado. This is one who has done wrong, one who has even committed a crime or committed what we call a sin. And then we have the word katta kalyano. Actually, they didn't include the diacritical marks. It should be spelled. Katta kalyana. This is one who has done what is good. So kalyana is good, katta is done. And katta and kalyana are joined to form a compound. It's a compound describing a person. So it's a bahubihi compound describing a person who has done what is good. Okay, any questions? Explaining grammar is always an ordeal for me. It's most useful to go to reading passages and pick up, give the grammatical explanations based on the reading passages rather than in the abstract. Okay, it's 2:06. Why don't we take a 10-minute break? Okay, so we'll come back 2:15.